Daisy's Chain, a tale of love, intrigue, and the underworld on the Costa del Sol, by Owen Jones. 1. La Via Blanca, Marbella, 1995. Teresa was lying on her back on the bed, breathing deeply with a wide grin on her face, next to her boss, John, who at 65 had taken far too much punishment in life to be able to take an active role in making passionate love himself. He liked her to swear as she pleasured them both, but it did not come naturally to her, so she usually forgot to in the heat of the moment. Teresa was 42, and proud to have John as her lover. In fact, she had loved him for years, despite the large age gap. She had first been attracted to the distinguished Englishman when he had used to come to buy things from her in Fuengirola market, and had fallen in love with him since almost the first day he had taken her on as his cook and housekeeper. Little did she know at the time that his frequent visits to the market had been excuses to see her.
"That was great, Terry girl. Oh, yes, you're enough to make a grown man cry."
Teresa rolled over towards her lover, onto his waiting right arm. She put her right arm across his chest as they kissed.
"You are the best," he said to her.
"It is easy for me to make you happy, Johnny, because I love you. You are my hero and my saviour," she replied, as she frequently did.
An explosion sounded as a muffled crump from outside. The phone rang as John was reaching out for it. It was the person he'd been about to call, just as he knew that it would be.
"What was that, Tony?"
he asked, without a trace of anxiety in his voice.
"I'm not sure yet, boss, but we haven't been it."
He was interrupted by a second explosion similar to the first, and then a third of a different kind.
"It's coming from down the road, some way off. I think it's the O'Leary's place, judging by the plumes of smoke. I'm going outside now to get a better look."
Tony was a big man, the shape of a door with a bald head on it. He was John's chief of security and had been with him for 10 years. John could hear him running over the phone, but not breathing heavily at all, and then stop.
"I'm about 200 yards from their front gate now. It looks like the house has been hit, and the front gate. And there are bits of motorcycle everywhere. 2 men are down, on fire. Oh, I think they've just been offed with a single baseball bat strike to the back of their necks. Looks like a drive-by with RPGs to me. I'm coming back in. I don't want to be nabbed as a witness to this."
"No, of course not. Come back and play dumb. But see what you can find out on the QT. Apprise me later."
He rang off. 5 minutes later, John had fallen asleep, as he frequently did, and Teresa quietly got up, dressed, and went back to work. It was time to arrange her employer's dinner. During the meal, Tony gave John his verbal report of the bombing.
"This is not official, boss, but I got it from one of O'Leary's lads, so I reckon that it's as near the truth as we're ever going to get. It was a drive-by, and they did use rocket-propelled grenades. Apparently they fired the first one as they passed by. It went through the railings of the gate and hit the house. The gatekeeper, who was probably counting his lucky stars that he wasn't blown up, got a few shots off. The riders then came back past the gate and fired again, but the tail fire from the RPG must have ignited fuel leaking from a bullet hole in the petrol tank, and it blew up. The second grenade did strike the gate, as the first one was probably meant to, and blew it in. When the bike exploded and the riders came back to earth on fire, O'Leary's men broke their necks with baseball bats so there'd be no loose ends."
"Who was responsible, do they reckon, Tony?"
"He said they don't know. But when I suggested that it was a rival Irish gang from back home, he didn't say that it wasn't."
"Anyone else besides the riders hurt, was there?"
"Not the gatekeeper's in a bad way. He's got shrapnel wounds, and those big wrought iron gates gave him quite a whack when they blew in, but he'll probably live. The cleaner got some splinters of glass in her arse, but she's all right. The O'Learys were round the back near the pool, so they're all uninjured too.